Well, we're going to move on now, and I kind of planned the message this week not knowing if it had 5 minutes or 25 minutes or anything in between, and so I have just a short message to give here today. I promise we will be done before noon Central Time. Now, we'll keep this quick. I know a lot of you have plans for Mother's Day and as families, but today really has been all about kids. Right, this next generation, and we saw a video of all that was happening in this last year, and just wonderful, smiling kids, and just a good number of them, some of them from churched families, some of them from non-churched families, some of them brand new into the church for the very first time in this last year. You know, I'm encouraged as I see this and see what's happening in these kids' ministries, and just kind of that culture of joy that comes from kids, and there really is a lot you can learn from them. But the reality is, most of us don't see what's happening because a lot of kids' ministries happens behind the scenes. It happens downstairs right now while all of us, you know, important adults are up here. And we don't always know what's going on. We don't know their names. And sometimes kids unintentionally can take a back seat in the church. But the reality is that this church is as much theirs as it is ours, and it has to be that way. And Steph had talked about that little interaction in Matthew and in Mark that's written down about the disciples kind of being the bodyguard, so to speak, for Jesus as they're keeping the little children away as they want to go see Jesus. And he kind of rebukes his disciples and says, you need to let those little children come to me. You know, you need to have faith like these kids. And he takes a moment to really interact with those kids and to bless them. And I think Jesus understood the importance of kids in that time because he was raising disciples, but he knew at that moment that those kids would be the ones who would one day replace those disciples and be the pastors and be the missionaries and be the people who would keep the church going. And the same is true today, that we're all in the sanctuary here, and all of us are growing and learning and we're ministering, but one day, those kids that we just saw in the video are going to be the church. And so if this isn't their church now, it certainly will be soon, and we have to invest in them. And 40 years from now, we may see a presidential ballot of Hazlett Item. Right? Or Adam Hazlett, I don't know, they can decide for themselves who's president and vice president. But someone born in the 2020s is going to be probably running for president and being president 40 years from now. And we have this amazing opportunity as a church to help create a strong future and to invest in them. And for me, I have a lot of optimism. I have a lot of hope for the future before us, because we can start investing in that right now. And so today's short message is just going to look at two different proverbs that are written about wisdom in not only in parenting, but as communities, how you approach children and the ways that you can really impress and teach upon them and be examples. But before we get into these two proverbs, I just want to take a moment to pray for us as a church and to pray for this future generation. So pray with me. So God, I want to thank you that we have all of these children in our church that are so excited to be here. I see them running to class on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and they're here to learn about you and your word, and I see in them a faith that's growing and developing and maturing. And God, oftentimes it just impresses me how much they know and how much they want to share with their friends and their family. And God, we just thank you for that. What a joy it is to hear children laughing and crying and talking. And even during my sermon many Sundays, it's just a joy to hear babies crying. And God, it's something we don't want to take for granted, that you have blessed us with this generation. So I pray for us as we consider how we can invest in them and help create a stronger future for the kingdom of God simply by being intentional. God, may you just lead each and every one of us to the places where we can serve. Maybe it's as a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it's as a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's as a nursery worker. Whatever it is, maybe it's just knowing a kid's name and saying hi to them each Sunday and praying for them throughout the week. Whatever it is, God, may you just lead us into a place that we can walk in obedience to the ways that you call us to invest in this generation. So I just pray that that would happen, that they would grow strong, and that they would grow to be a part of revival in this state, this country, this world, that there's just a kingdom of God growing mightily through them. So, God, thank you for this, and just speak to each and every one of us here today through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn to Proverbs 22, and this is probably the better known of the two that we'll be looking at today, one that many parents hear over and over, Proverbs 22:6. I'm reading out of the NIV in this one. But it says, "Start children off in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it." And in other translations, it says, "Teach children in the way they should go, and when they grow up, they will not depart from it." But it's this idea that we have to proactively invest in kids the truth and the wisdom and the word of God, and really intentionally start them in a path that we pray they continue to walk on for their whole lives. And so where do we start in all of this? I think it's pretty simple here. We teach them. We intentionally, proactively teach them everything God has to say and everything he has given us and commanded of us. Because there's many things in the world that they're going to see and hear. There's no shortage of info, of input in their lives. Day after day, they're being bombarded with many different things. And my own son, who I've been very intentional about teaching the Word of God to, who has a bit of knowledge there, knows a lot about Pokemon, too. And I don't know how, but he comes back off the bus and he's telling me all of the attributes of every Pokemon. And it's not a bad thing, but the point is they're going to be learning something every single day. They're going to be learning a lot of things every single day, and we have to be intentional about starting them off in the way they should go and teaching them the truths of God. Now, earlier I read out of Deuteronomy 6 to the parents up here as a challenge to them. You know, the command of God, again, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, to teach the commands that I've given you today, and to be that are to be on your hearts, and impress them or teach them to your children. Now, when this command was given to Israel, this wasn't given just to the parents. This was to the whole community. Because that's the backdrop of this proverb, is that it was just a given that the whole community would work together to teach the truths of God intentionally to the children. So it's a baseline that I would view all of this in, is that there's a communal perspective that it takes a village to raise children. And by nature, in this country and in this culture, we are individualistic, we are consumeristic, and the question we often ask going into any situation is, what do I personally get out of this? But the real question we should be asking as Christians is, what can I personally give to this? And how can I invest in this situation to grow the kingdom of God? This is a society, as this proverb was given, who is always looking to the next generation as a beacon of hope. And they did everything they can and everything they could to set them up to success. And you see this even in their trades and the way they worked. And I think I shared this story before, but back about 2016, I visited Israel and got to see this place and see a lot of the archaeological digs. And I remember being especially intrigued by this city that was being unearthed before our very eyes. And there's these, you could see the arches and the buildings and the doorways. And I remember in one, there's a room with tiles that were about 4,000 years old. And it was this mosaic artesian tile. It was beautiful. It was of a whale. And even being under dirt for thousands of years is being uncovered, and it is meticulous and perfect. Every tile was cut and placed with precision. And the reason why they were able to do that so well then and why today, you know, if you have a room built, you're lucky if the walls are square and the floor doesn't have gaps this big between the floorboards. The reason why they did things so well then is because every generation passed everything they had on to the next generation. And so you had hundreds of years of experience and lessons that were passed down. So the person laying those tiles had a dad who laid tiles and had a dad who laid tiles in their debt. You know, and so they had all of these things where every time a father would go to the son, they'd say, here's everything I learned. Here's all the mistakes I made. And your baseline is going to be where I left off in my life. And I want you to grow from there and then teach that to your kids. And that's how they approached the trades. That's how they approached the life at that time. And it's how they also approached their faith. It's the way we should be approaching our faith as well, the same attitude we should have towards the next generation. As a collective whole, as adults, we're to say, here is everything I know and everything I learned and all of the mistakes I made, and here's my legacy of faith that I left off on that I want you to start with. And imagine the future of our church if we all had that same attitude. That we want to equip the next generation not to be good, but to do it better than us. And to start them on the way they should go. And pray they do not depart from it. And that's why I just want to take a moment now to thank all of our kids, volunteers here, our teachers, those who help in any way, those who are working hard to get to know these students and to encourage them and pray for them. You're making a multiple generational impact. It's not going to just only affect their lives, but every generation after. And the hour you spend teaching on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night could have centuries of impact beyond that. So thank you for all that you're doing there. But together as a community, we need to intentionally teach. Because the reality is we can't expect kids to teach themselves. Okay? If we make no effort to teach them biblical wisdom, they're simply not going to learn it. If you look a little further in Proverbs 22, verse 15 kind of gives us maybe the opposite side of that. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline will drive it far away. In other words, this way of saying that kids have a tendency to do dumb things. And last night, you know, this wasn't anything that required discipline, but it's just one of those like eye roll things. My 6-year-old son learned that he can sip his milk through a straw in his nose. What compelled him to do that? I don't know, but he went out on the deck and he shared that with our neighbors as well, that he sipped milk through his nose. And that's what kids do, right? They explore the world in a lot of ways and they do dumb things. And that's where we as adults can be there to encourage them and to guide them and to start them on the right path. The other thing this proverb tells us is that we can't expect other people to teach children the ways of God. This is the job of the church and the job of the church alone. You know, there's many churches who don't invest in their kids, who look at children's ministry as kind of like the leftover thing of we'll give them the room out there in the corner that we're not using. We'll give them, you know, whatever's left over for funding. We'll guilt people to sign up, and someone will finally say yes and do it for 1 week and never again, and the children aren't invested in. And then those kids grow up, and they're not following Jesus. And that same church asks, why aren't they following Jesus? Surely this is the fault of the schools, of the government, of all those youth sports and TV and video games and social media. And the reality is it was their job to teach the ways of God, and they failed. We, in part, create the generation that is to come. And if a generation has strayed from Jesus, it's the fault of no one but the church. We start them in the way they should go. It comes down to teaching spiritual truths and principles, building godly and healthy relationships, helping them to develop spiritual disciplines, read them the Bible, share your testimony, pray with them, encourage them, ask questions, answer questions, Learn their name. Ask them how they're doing. There's many ways we can do this, but it all starts with doing it on purpose. And we all work together to train them for success. And that training that you invest in their younger years pays off dividends in the future and the generations to follow. A firm foundation they're not likely to stray from. But you can talk until your face is blue. You can enforce rules with the utmost of rigidity. But until you live it out yourself, they're not likely to follow. And that's the second proverb I want us to look at today. If you go back a page or two in your Bible, this is in Proverbs 20, verse 7. I'm going to read it out of the NLT here. And it says that the godly walk with integrity, and blessed are their children who follow them. You need to walk the walk yourself. You need to practice what you preach. And integrity here literally means passing the test. Passing the test. Are you the same person at home, at work, as you are at church? Are you the same person if people are looking or not? The reality is that kids are watching you. Integrity means passing the test. Are you the person that you're asking them to be? Now, integrity doesn't mean just be perfect, right? Because if integrity means passing the test, that's a test we will all fail. Because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have regrets. And you know what? The kids will see the mistakes. They will see your inconsistencies. And children are excellent hypocrisy detectors. Trust me. They're going to be the ones that say, Mom or Dad or Sunday school teacher so-and-so, you know, you said not to use that word, but you did. You told us that we're to do our chores, but you didn't put your garbage away. Mom and Dad, you said speak nice about other people, but you didn't speak nice about that person. The children will notice, and they'll call you out in your hypocrisy. So what does it mean to live a life of integrity that is a blessing for the children who follow? What do you say when they say, you did the thing you told me not to do? You say, you're right, and I'm sorry. I failed. Will you forgive me? Children don't need to see someone who's perfect or pretends to be. There's going to be many mistakes and regrets. They need to see an example of a sinner who understands their own need for grace. They don't need to be told about the grace and the forgiveness of God. They need to be shown it. It's about acknowledging your failures in life and owning up to it and saying, we all need forgiveness and we all need grace. Me more so than anyone else. And when children see a person who lives with that integrity, they're likely to become that person, and they'll be blessed in it. They're watching you closely, and you have a tremendous influence in their lives, and you have the ability to model the grace and the love of Jesus before them in every interaction. So for adults, be an example to those who are young. Be the type of person that you hope they'll become. And for parents, I'm going to scare you for a moment. There's a very high chance that they're going to turn out just like you. You have to ask yourself, is that a good thing? Be the person that you want them to be. Live a life of integrity, and they will follow. And they'll be blessed in it. And so as we conclude today, I just want to say we have an incredible opportunity with the kids that are here. We are a church that is here to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. We are a church set on mission. And our very church is one of the greatest mission fields we could be given. We don't need to go far. We don't even need to leave the building. We just need to show up. We need to love them. We need to teach them. We need to be an example for them. So I just encourage you today, be the person you want them to be. Teach them the things you know. Invest in them. Pray for them. Let's close today. Lord, we just thank you for just, again, an incredible blessing, an incredible opportunity. And I look at these kids and just say, wow, we are lucky to have a future so bright. So God, help us to continue to be people who are intentional to teach and to train, to impress everything we have learned, to pray, to encourage, to be a godly example. But God, I just pray all of this be done in your power, in your might, by your Holy Spirit, for your glory, because there is no other way. So God, we just thank you that this church has been alive and moving generation after generation, but it's simply because of what you are doing. So God, may we just partner with you in that. Thank you for these kids. Thank you for this generation. And thank you for the ability that you've given to us to invest in them. I pray we do so, and we do so well on purpose. We pray all these things now in your name, Jesus. Amen.